God takes care of it anyway, doesn't he? Amen. He's so good. Well, it is almost here, isn't it? Christmas almost here. I thought we'd take a couple of profiles. We're going to do Joseph today. You can imagine who we're probably going to do next week. Then the next week's a Christmas play. So go ahead and stand with me, if you will. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, as we think about this scripture and this precious event, that you came into this world for the purpose of to seek and to save that which is lost. Your goal was not to just live life, but to live a perfect, spotless, sinless life. To go to that cross and to willingly give yourself for us so we could be redeemed. We could have an opportunity to be saved. Before we can have a crucifixion, there must be the birth. This is the beginning of that life. You lived for us. We're so thankful, Lord. We can't understand. We can't grab a hold of it with our limited minds, what you actually went through. We can't identify with the suffering, with the pain. We can't connect God completely with what it was all about, but we can say we thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus, for coming, being born, laying in that manger, those humble beginnings, and all your life was a complete sacrifice for us and because of your great love for us. Thank you for that love. Thank you. And that's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate you, Jesus, and what you came to do. Forgive us of our sins, and thank you, God, for the number of folks that are with us this morning. Thank you for the crowd that has gathered together in your house. We pray that your word now is going to go out, that your message will be preached, and you'll speak to our hearts, God. Help us to identify with old Joseph a little bit today. I know we're going to see ourselves in him, and we pray for your word to pierce our hearts and to have its way. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Old Joseph, when we start thinking about Joseph, we think about Mary, and we get our minds go back. I don't know how many movies have probably been made. Golly, it's probably untelling. Tons and tons of movies have been made about the Christmas story, you know. And if you're like me, the first thing I do is I want to critique any movie that has to do with a biblical character. I'll pick it to death and try to find, you know, things that are in error and things that are not scriptural, and you know, trying to bring the wise men to the nativity scene. Please don't do it. The wise men were not there, so don't put them in there. And I know I go overboard on some of this stuff, but at the same time, people try to portray what it was like. I don't know that anybody can really let us know what it was like to actually have been where they were. And not only the events that happened leading up to the birth of Christ, but the time period. Our minds are not able to comprehend the time period. Even though you can look and you can see in a movie, you know, they're in a desert place, you know, and they're riding donkeys, they're not driving cars, you know, and they're actually looking at each other in the face and talking to each other rather than texting across the table from each other. Our minds and the world we're in today, we're not really able to get a hold of what it was actually like then. So we're kind of wasting our time to actually try. So if we want an accurate and actual account of what happened, you can watch all the movies you want to, and that's okay. But get in God's Word, and He will show you. The Spirit of God that was there then will identify with you and us today exactly what we need to know and take away from those events and those things that happened. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into what we see about Joseph. I got to say, to be Joseph, can you imagine to be? I mean, I know he wasn't the biological father. We understand that and we get that. What happened in the womb of Mary was the working of the Holy Spirit, and it was a heavenly thing. It was a godly thing. And so Joseph is not the biological father. But at the same time, there are a lot of people in the world today who are not the biological father of sons and daughters, but they are the father of these children. They raise them, they nurture them, they care for them and provide for them. And though we know that God the Father is in heaven and overseeing all of this and the power and the presence and working of the Holy Spirit during that conception and how Jesus grew in the womb and she gave birth to perfect God in flesh form, Joseph was still a daddy to God in a way. It kind of boggles the mind, doesn't it, to think how somebody can be given this amazing privilege to raise Jesus. How do you approach that? How do you do that? Because we know from Scripture, he came right out of the gate knowing that this is Emmanuel. We read the passage. This is God made flesh. This is the Savior that's come into the world to save the world from its sins. We know that because God originally spoke to the heart of Joseph and told him before Mary had ever given birth, what's inside of her is special. This is of the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is like no other child that's ever been born, no other like any other child that ever will be born. This is God. So I can imagine what the heart of Joseph was like when he heard those words. But before we go to that, let's jump back a little bit. I want to go in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 16. A verse of Scripture basically deals with the lineage of Jesus. And even though he's not the biological father yet, if we're going to go father, son, father, son, father, son through the order of events and through history, then what we're going to see is an interesting passage of Scripture. Everybody is labeled father, son, father, son, father, son. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16, here's what it says. And Jacob begat Joseph. It doesn't go on to say Jesus right after that. It says the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. When you've been introduced before, have you ever been introduced as not as much about who you are, but who somebody is that you know? Are you related to somebody that's a little more prominent, a little more famous, a little more out there than you are? So when folks meet you, have you even gotten a habit of, a lot of times of even not even mentioning your name, but say, I'm the brother of, I'm the sister of, I'm the child of, I'm the uncle of, so-and-so. So they can relate you, and it almost makes us feel at times as though we're insignificant, doesn't it? I got the feeling, and Harper's not even three yet, but I've already got the feeling I'm going to be just Harper's Poppy. I'm going to lose a name. Amen. And we've been there, have we? You've been there at times that we feel insignificant. We feel as though, do I really matter? Do I really matter? I mean, as the story goes on, and Joseph obviously understands that he's not the biological father. He understands why he can't be, and he understands the process of how things are going to go. But then when they start to document his lineage and his history and his heritage, and they don't just mention his name, but they say, this is Joseph, the husband of Mary, which I think it is important to recognize Mary, though, hey, we got to be careful. We can't put Mary on a pedestal. Amen. She's not God. Did I shock you? Mary is precious and Mary is wonderful. We'll talk about her hopefully next week. But Mary is not God. Mary sinned just like all of us have sinned and was in great need of a Savior just as all of us are. There's only one perfect one, and that is Jesus Christ. So, to get back to the story about Joseph perhaps feeling like, well, you know, when you've got Jesus as a son, you pretty much have no name. You know, when you've got somebody that is God Himself that is in your home, I'm not sure where I'm going to rank in here, but it's going to be pretty low. And we can feel insignificant. And not only that, but Mary is the one that gave birth to Him. So she's going to be, you know, it's where do I rank in the order? If you label everybody, I'm at the bottom here. And we can feel that way. I'm not just talking about in your home. I'm talking about in life, in society, at work, wherever you're at. Does it seem many times that you are insignificant and you don't matter? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you this, that Satan wants you to think that you have no value whatsoever. He wants you to think that. The devil wants you to believe that you can't contribute anything to the kingdom of God. Do you ever feel like maybe because you don't have a position in church, you don't hold maybe a title or a part of a distinct ministry or those kind of things that, well, apparently I just don't matter to God. I don't have a purpose for the kingdom of God. Satan wants that, but God wants you to know this. You are important to Him. Regardless of who you are, where you came from, no matter what you've done in your life, you have value and you have importance with God. That little boy that we keep talking about him, we preach about him all the time, a little lad brought the fish, brought the bread, Jesus blessed it, everybody had plenty to eat, 12 baskets left over. We're still talking about that little guy. Yeah. I mean, we don't even know what his name is. But he has made a difference in millions of lives because of his story and because of his willingness to give to God. And that kind of brings me to the next thought that I want to mention. What makes us valuable to God? Well, we could also flip the coin to Joseph and say, well, hey, I'm actually having an opportunity to raise Jesus. How many of you all got to do that? So we could think, well, maybe I am somebody. Maybe I am special because I had the privilege of getting to raise Jesus. Maybe I am special because I'm have this talent or this ability. Do you ever wonder, you know, do I have my significance because of what I can do? That's a good question. What does it say in Matthew 1 and verse 19 about him? It said, then Joseph, her husband, being what? A just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. I jotted down a couple of things here to make note of. In Leviticus 20 and verse number 10, we see that a man that commits adultery with a woman, they both are guilty of the sin of adultery and are to be condemned to death in Leviticus 20:10. It's Bible. That's the law. That was a command, part of the commandments and statutes of God. Obviously, we're in the age of grace and things have changed in regard to how we look at the law of God. We're not having time to get in all that. But the judgment for such a crime was death. And I did a little bit of research. I don't know how accurate this is, but at least it's worth noting that in Egypt back in that day, and maybe perhaps around that time or maybe before, that if a woman committed adultery and she was found guilty, that they would cut the bridge of her nose off. That sounds real good, doesn't it? I mean, death's not too good, but at the same time, in Egypt, they would cut the nose off. And in Persia, they would cut the nose off and or the ears off, slick the ears off flat. I don't know if they were trying to deface the person that committed adultery so that they would become unattractive. I don't know the mindset there. But what we do see is we see the seriousness of the situation that adultery was a crime, punishable according to Jewish law by death. So you've got Joseph here. Now, you got to go over to Luke to find the nitty-gritty part of the story here and what happened. When the angel came and spoke to Mary, okay, came and spoke to her, said, you know, you're going to give birth to Christ. He's going to save the world from its sins. And she was so excited. And the angel even spoke to her and said, even now, your cousin Elizabeth, who was older and barren, is also pregnant with child, going to give birth to a cousin. And she's already in her 6th month. So as soon as Mary found out this news from Gabriel, as soon as she knew she was going to be pregnant with child, the Spirit came upon her, she found out that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant with child, 6 months pregnant, she went straight to Elizabeth. And when they met, you know the story of how they met, and Elizabeth said, my child leaped in my womb when you brought in the Savior, when you came in, the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth up. And we'll get into some of that a little bit later, hopefully next week. But I thought what was important is this. She was 6 months pregnant. And the Bible says in Luke that Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months. About 3 months. I'm assuming what happened is, if I'm not great at math, but I think it's about 9 months average that a woman carries a child and gives birth. I'm going to assume that Mary stayed there until the child was born and she saw John the Baptist born, perhaps hung around a little bit, and then she made her way back home. So from the time that the angel spoke to Mary, she was gone from Joseph for at least 3 months. They weren't able to see each other physically, but you know how things happen and how news travels fast in a small town. Hey, she's starting to, something's happening here. Mary, you know, 3 months later, she's starting, something is, that the word got out that Mary was pregnant. I'm kind of reading between the lines here, and I'm kind of assuming some things. But I don't think that Joseph had the opportunity to talk to Mary face to face before the angel came and spoke to him. And I'm gonna give you my reason for why I feel that way. So 3 months later, she comes back. Somewhere along those lines, Joseph has been aware that she's pregnant, regardless of what stories may have came with that or whether it was of God or not. I don't know what stories came to Joseph, but the fact that she was pregnant came to him because he'd already had in his mind, I'm going to put her away privately. Now we can think, wow, Joseph's a real good guy, because what he's doing is his wife's pregnant with the Christ child and he's going to put her away privately because he's embarrassed about his reputation. No, let's don't beat Joseph up just yet. Let's look at the situation. Matter of fact, I think it's wonderful that he put in here that he is a just man, because I think we see that his justness come out. Listen, this word just here means this: innocent, holy, and righteous. That's who Joseph was. Joseph knew that he could have her brought before the judges. It's obvious that she's pregnant, and he's going to testify honestly that he has not had relationship with her physically. It is not his child she is carrying. He could have had Mary put to death. We know God would have intervened, wouldn't let it happen, but bear with me. He could have brought her before the judges. She could have been put to death. But here's what Joseph did, because he is a just man. He's an innocent man. He is a righteous man. He said, you know what? Even if she's guilty of having an affair with someone, which it's obvious she is because I've not been with her, she's been with someone else, then I'm going to at least put her away privately. I'm not going to bring embarrassment to her and in her face. I'm not going to slander her, but I'm going to just get a divorce, and I'm going to let her go her way. And that's the just man that we see in Joseph. And I thought, wow, that is interesting. Even knowing or believing in his mind that she had had an affair and cheated on him, he said, I'm still just going to put her away privately and not going to embarrass her and not going to bring her to stand before the council and perhaps be put to death. So that's what we see in Joseph, is he is a just man. The angel had not spoken to him yet. She had been over there for 3 months. His wife, or soon to be basically wife, because when they're espoused, they're connected as husband and wife, even though they haven't gone through the ceremony. She's cheated on me and she's pregnant, but you know what? I am a just man. So we look at why God chose Joseph to raise Jesus, Teach him how to do carpentry work. Teach him how to work with his hands. Show him values. We know that Joseph's not really going to be able to show Jesus a whole lot, but I think God allowed Jesus. I can't get my mind around this, but I think God allowed Jesus to be a little child, to learn things for the first time, to experience things for the first time, to crawl for the first time, to walk for the first time, say words for the first time. I don't think that Jesus was born in that manger and began speaking every language known to man. Why? Because Jesus wants to understand us. How's he going to understand us unless he goes through the experiences of life that we go through? Jesus allowed himself to be limited. He's still all God, but also he's all man. He allowed himself to go through those changes and experiences of life. And being a youngster, knows what it's like to be a teenager, knows what it's like to be a young man, and experience all those things that we're going to experience. So while he was a little fella laying in that manger, and as he started to grow and learn to see things and hold things and experience things, hear things, say things, Joseph was pivotal in being able to teach him how to make things out of wood. Show him the beauty of the world and of nature and all that God had provided for us. Joseph was instrumental in that. That's why Joseph was chosen. Why? Because he was a just man. If you want to be a superstar to God, you don't have to have crazy talent and gifts and abilities. You know what you got to be? You got to be just. That's a superstar in God's eyes. And that's why Joseph, a nobody, was chosen to be the one to help raise Jesus, because he became a superstar because of him being a just man. Then Matthew 1 and 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." God expects us to believe the unbelievable. Amen. Joseph's mind is, well, Mary's had an affair. She's pregnant with somebody's child. But I still just want to put her away privately. I don't want to bring embarrassment to her. But while he's sitting here pondering these things, and I'm sure he's praying about it, God, what? Then the angel comes to him and he says, "Listen, what's going on with her is of God. This is a heavenly thing. She's not been with a man. You can be free to take her as your wife, even though she's already 3 months pregnant with child. It's okay. She's not cheated on you." We're Joseph. We're going to go back and we're going to go, what? Are you serious? She's pregnant. I haven't been with her. Explain that. How am I to believe the unbelievable? I just am. We are challenged to believe the unbelievable if we're going to be who God wants us to be. We can't think the way the world thinks. That's what faith is, isn't it? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. Faith is about us being given the evidence and what we need to be able to trust God, but still we got to make that choice to say, I'm going to believe the unbelievable. I mean, when we go back all the way to Joshua and marching around Jericho, and we think all those amazing events, God just said, march around Jericho, blow the trumpets, boom, the walls are coming down. That is completely unbelievable. It's unrealistic. It's not possible for walls to come down because we shout. It's impossible for somebody, as Peter, to step out of a boat and just walk on top of the water. That is impossible. And what God's doing in our lives, just as he did before, is he's challenging us to believe those things that are unbelievable. You and I got to believe in God and not in us. We got to believe God, just like he said to Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. That's where we've got to get, and we've got to believe. We got to be just and choose to believe what is unbelievable. And then, Matthew 1, 22 and 23, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us." We realize the impact then that we can have on lives. Joseph, because he was a just man, And as soon as he found out from the angel, what's happening to her is of God. You know, he didn't challenge the word of the angel. He chose to believe the unbelievable, and he went straight to Mary, and he embraced her and loved her, and he took her. They were espoused. He continued to take her, and they became husband and wife, and it was a beautiful thing. We see the result of it, don't we? But we see the impact now that Joseph was able to make in Mary's life, and guess what? In Jesus' life. Joseph had an impact on Jesus Christ as he raised him from a little child. He had an impact on the lives of all those people around him, those relatives. Could you imagine those relatives? Me, 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 me. I'd put her away. I'd put her to death. You got people like that in your life that want to tell you what you need to do in your life? I know what you want to say. Why don't you straighten your own life out and leave mine alone? Go ahead and tell them. They need to hear it. Amen. But there are people that are always going to give us that advice of what they say we need to do, of what they think's right. You can receive counsel of people you love and respect. That's okay. But listen, what we need to do is exactly what Joseph did. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray and seek God. You know what God's going to do? In every situation, God's going to give us exactly what we need when we need it. The angel came to Joseph as soon as he started to consider putting her away privately. The angel came and spoke to her, and Joseph said, "Yes, I believe you, I receive that, and I will accept her, and she will be my wife. I have no doubt this is of God, and I'm going to live the rest of my life knowing that. No doubt, no hesitation whatsoever." I guarantee you, he heard a lot of whispering. But you know what Joseph became? He became a testimony to what God was about to do. He was a part of the fulfillment of Scripture by taking Mary to be his wife. You don't got to do a whole lot to be a superstar in God's eyes, but just one thing, just be just. Be just. Choose righteousness. If you want to make a difference in the lives of people around you, we can give them stuff. We can give them all kinds of advice. We can give them all kinds of money. We can do this for them and do that for them. If you want to affect people in their lives around you, be just and righteous before God. And that, my friend, will be the greatest impact we can have on anybody's life. Stand with me as we have our invitation prayer. Father, as we come to you today and we think about and we ponder the life of Joseph and all the things he must have experienced as a young man, the challenges, God, to be able to stand and to say, "I'm going to believe you, God, even though it doesn't make sense. I'm going to believe you, God, and I'm going to hold on to that belief, and I'm going to die for that belief." Thank you, God, for him being just. Thank you, God, that he wasn't just a miraculous person or had great attributes or able to speak well before crowds. We're thankful, God, that Joseph was just a common, everyday man, but you chose him because he was just and righteous before you. God, we want to be superstars for you. We want to be, and we know how. It's by us choosing to surrender ourselves to you, to honor you and to glorify you and to be righteous and holy and innocent before you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts today. What decisions need to be made, God? Bring us to this altar and get us on our knees and on our face before you to choose to be just in the world we're in. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.